WIEL now presents Heart of the Matter. This is a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ron Boone, and we're doing this program today on location. We're doing it at an Arby's restaurant, and we appreciate them letting us do it in Beaver Dam along the Western Kentucky Parkway, because that was a central meeting place for myself and Bob Watkins, our good friend and well-known sports columnist from Glendale. We came up from E-Town. Our central guest, Mary Ann Walker, and her husband, Yulvester, came over from Henderson, and Howie Crittenden, who used to be from the huge town of what?
Pilot Oak, Kentucky.
Pilot Oak in Graves County is now in Bowling Green, so he came up from Bowling Green, so this is sort of a central location. What we want to talk about is the extremely interesting book, When Cuba Conquered Kentucky, the triumphant basketball story of a tiny high school that achieved the American dream. It was written by our guest, Mary Ann Walker, and we want to meet her and ask her why she even took on a project like this, not being a sports nut such as Howie and Bob and Yulvester, and I will freely admit that we are. Just as a way of introduction, I don't even know, Mary Ann, if you've seen this. Welcome, by the way.
Hello.
I don't know if you've seen this, the Kentucky Living Magazine. The June issue, they give a good introduction to your book. This is good publicity for you. This goes to people all over the state of Kentucky through the rural electric cooperatives. And Mary Ann has not seen it. It says the Jackson Purchase Area takes the spotlight in two books this summer. Home of the Graves County Cuba Cubs, the area produced in 1952 one of the most exciting high school basketball teams ever to win the state championship. Author Mary Ann Walker recounts the triumphant rise of the Western Kentucky underdogs in her appealing book, When Cuba Conquered Kentucky, published by Rutledge Hill Press and costing right at $20 at $19.95, focusing on two of the team's young stars, Doodle Floyd, who we know now is in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Howie Crittenden, who's in Bowling Green. Howie will be one of our guests here this morning. Walker describes the personal challenges and family hardships that strengthen the boys' resolve while on their way to becoming inseparable friends and winning teammates. This book is an emotional and exciting read for anyone who loves basketball and tales of boyhood triumph. Bob, I'm going to give you the pleasure of asking Mary Ann the very first question about why she wrote this book.
Well, Mary Ann, I would ask you... This book seemed to me to be more of a people book than a sports book. Would you comment on that?
Yes. I'm not a sports person, a sports expert, and I didn't set out to write a sports book. I set out to write a book about these boys who had a passion for basketball. And I was interested in their background. I was interested in... their characters. I was interested in their families, and that's what motivated me to pursue the story.
You know, Mary Ann, so many people read so many things into this book, and it's a book really that now that I've gotten it back from Bob, who I'm going to read again because it's, I don't want to get too wild here, but you know, the Bible, you keep reading, you keep reading new things into it. But one of the first impressions I got was when I read it, I was surprised. I thought it was only about a basketball team. But to me, it was about a small town, a small school, and a rural community. It was sort of about rural life.
Yes, it was. And that's one of the aspects of the story that really appealed to me. I liked looking back across the years to a place and a time that seemed to me simple, innocent, and endearing.
Well, you know, there are a lot of nostalgic things about it, but I think it's very contemporary in the sense that I feel like contemporary Americans are looking at their society right now, and they're saying, wait a minute, we've come to this point, but when we look back into the 1950s or the 40s or the 60s, we see something a little different. No time cannot stand still, but maybe we want to go back to some things that we left behind. What do you think?
Yes, I definitely think it would be good for us to go back to some customs that we had years ago. One thing that I try to make clear in my book was the closeness of the Cuba and the Pilot Oak community, how they rallied around those boys and supported them and supported the school and the coach. No one, you know, criticized Coach Story or the boys. Even when the boys lost, I don't think they ever got any criticism. You know, people just love to watch them play, and of course they love to see them win. But I know today from my own experiences as a grandmother with a little grandson who plays baseball and other sports that sometimes the parents aren't quite that supportive of the team. They tend to support individual players, root for players rather than the team. And I think back in Howard's day, you know, the team was important, the school was important. There was really a community spirit. That's why I'm sad to see, little communities lose their schools. I think that's been tragic.
I could not agree with you more. I'm glad you said it, because that way I won't have to get on a soapbox. In Hardin County, the school board just saved Western Elementary School, which will have a population about, what was your population at Cuba, about 100?
We had 100 around that in high school, Rod. And I was in the top 25 of my class, because that's how many we had.
Well, of course, in your later career, you were principal at Henderson County High School, which is one of the largest in the state. I checked right before I left. Last spring, officially, Henderson County had 1,700-something in its high school. North Hardin was the largest high school in the state, a little bit over 2,000. Central Hardin was just under 2,000. Got some notes here, but PRP is a big school. Louisville Manual is a big school. And Manual, that goes back into your memory a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, Ron, Louisville Manual, I believe, at the time we played them in 1952, had close to 3,000 students, because you didn't have as many schools in the Louisville area. I believe they were one of the largest in the state at that time. And, you know, you're talking about Henderson County, you're talking about 17. Well, I was there 21 years as principal, and some years I scheduled 2,200 students in grades 10 through 12. They don't have a freshman now, but they're going to add in, I think, the freshman with the senior high, which will give them up close to 3,000 students.
So what are the small schools today? We do have small enrollment schools, and when you check, it's obvious you come up with some of the independent schools, such as Bardstown, Elizabethtown, Fort Knox, but they are in the 500 to 600 range. So I say all of that to say, Howie, this was incredible. A small rural school of right around 100 beating the very large schools in the state of Kentucky. What was it about Coach Story that when he identified you, I guess, in the eighth grade, you and Doodle and some of the other teammates, and says, guys, he made you believe it. What did he say to make you believe it, that if you stick together that you could actually climb this impossible mountain of being state champs?
Well, one thing I can say is that if we had not been so fortunate to have Coach Story, we would have never succeeded in any way like we did, because he had a way about him that he could explain things and make you believe. He used things we understood, like I mentioned earlier, Ron, first time he talked to us, said, how many of you have ever driven a cow through a gate? Of course, we'd all driven a cow through a gate. And he said, that's the way you play defense. You don't let the old cow go where she wants to go. You make her go where you want to go. And the same principle is true when you're playing basketball and guarding your man. You make him go where you want him to go. So he just had a way of doing it. And but the other thing is so amazing, and that's why people remember, it's a style of play that we developed. He let us be free, yet he had discipline. We knew whatever we did that we had to work as hard as we could, or he would certainly be on top of us. But he didn't complain to us. Like in practice, I could leave the free throw at the free throw line and glide into the basket. So then I got the idea, hey, while I'm in the air, I can put the ball behind my back and make a layup just as easy. And so he never, ever said a word about that. In fact, he'd grin. And he seemed to enjoy practice sometimes as much as some of the games. Well, then later on, my senior year, I had an opportunity to, on a fast break, to go in the air and put the ball out to my side. The defense goes after it. I put it behind my back and make a layup. Next time out, all Coach Story said was, great shot, Hal. And he made us believe that we could do it. And he showed us Globetrotter films. No one played that style of ball in Kentucky. And I'll tell you something, I've never seen a high school team play that style since.
You know, I do remember that. I am old enough to remember when you played Corbin in the state tournament. You beat them the first game of the state tournament in 1952. I'd heard that Cuba was a slick handling ball club, and you were, and you did most of the handling. And once again, we got to remember, as you said, teams didn't do that. The Globetrotters did it. Now we think nothing of a 6'10 player dribbling the ball between his legs. Back then, little guards didn't really do that. Marianne, I want your thoughts about Coach Story, your research about him, and from the author's standpoint, obviously, he was a big part of the story in Cuba, getting these boys to believe that they could do what they eventually did do. And by the way, they were state runners-up in 1951 before they became state champions in 1952, so they didn't slip up on anybody. But did you talk with the coach, or was he already deceased before you started?
No, he died in the, 1972, I think. His wife was alive. She died this last summer, and I was sorry about that because she did not get to see the book. But I did talk to her often, and I have the greatest admiration and respect for Coach Story. I honestly don't believe there would have been a Cuba Story had there not been Coach Story, because he saw, he recognized something special in Howard and Doodle and Raymond and Joe Buddy and Jimmy Webb and all of those little boys when they were in the eighth grade. And he collected them, put them in a team, you know, and started talking to them about what they could do if they really prepared themselves to do. And what I liked so much about him was his ability to inspire those little children to dream. And not just to sit back and expect the dream to happen, but to know that they really had to work to achieve it. And I think of all the boys on the team, I was always really impressed with Howard because he seemed so eager to please. He wanted to succeed so badly. And he worked so hard at it. And Doodle, I think, worked hard at it because Howard challenged him. And he and Howard competed all the time. I don't know if Howard had not lived there, if he and Doodle had not grown up together, I don't know that Doodle would have pursued basketball. Do you, Howard? I think he did it just to compete with you.
Well, Doodles and I started playing one-on-one when we were in the second or third grade. My brother cut the bottom out of a tin can and nailed it to the side of a smokehouse. Now, a lot of people listening won't know what a smokehouse is, but anyway, you can explain that, Ron. And we had a little ball about the size of a tennis ball. And we would play one-on-one just all time that we could. Doodles was always taller than me, but I was always quicker. And so, but we are great friends even today. I mean, I laugh all the time I'm around him and I tease him, and he does the same thing with me. But we developed this friendship, and we'd think of things to do in basketball games, and we'd do them. And Coach Story would encourage us to do that. Of course, the other guys were good basketball players, too. and everyone knew his goal. That's the thing about our team. Many teams, you know, players will not understand what their strengths are. And our team did, and I think that was a part of the success.